My name is Philip Paul. I'm 91 years of age, and a beautiful lady across the table from me is my wife, Roberta Paul.
My name is Roberta Paul. My age is 79.
This is really a love story that we've promised a lot of people that we would one day do, because we're still giddy about it when we talk about it. So we might put things out of proportion or overdo things when we talk about it, but it's really a story from the heart. I am a musician, and I played all my life and traveled on the road, to speak, for many years. And many years ago, in the 50s, I was working with a group, and we went to play to Montreal, Canada. And I remember it very clearly, because the lady sits right in front of me now, but she was in the audience, and she had such a beautiful smile. And like when I looked at it, it was like she was telling me, when you get a break, come over and talk to me. So that's what I did. And I'm pretty sure she can fill in all the details as to what happened as a result of that meeting.
Philip was during his tour in Montreal. We became close, and when he had to leave, he left me with a set of cufflinks, which I have to this day. He traveled on to New York, and I promised to follow. By the time I could get to New York, Philip has another story to tell. He wasn't going to be around.
Unfortunately, in my business, we have to travel all over the country, and if most of you out there can remember, the 1950s wasn't a very good year for race mixing. I might as well be factual, that's what it was. The country just wasn't ready for it. On my way back to New York, I thought about this. I said, well, I can't subject this lady to the treatment that she might get, because I was aware of what could happen, because I've been traveling through the South for years now. It's still tricky trying to travel through the South with a person of another color, especially a woman. If you're a black man, it's horrible. Today, I still get excited and angry at the same time about what could happen. So I thought about that, and I said, I cannot take this lady out on the road with me. We were going to get married, of course, but that wouldn't make a difference to some people. So I got on the road and went in another direction, sorry to say.
I had no idea that this was happening, and it was never explained to me about civil rights, and I came from Montreal. We had no problem with interracial couples. We had a very small community of black people. They were mainly from Nova Scotia, and we mixed with everyone, no problems. So when I figured, you know, go to New York and I would see Philip and we'd get closer, I realized when I got to New York and got to know his sister and family, he must have discussed it with them, and they told me that I should forget about him. So said, so done, and we didn't see each other again. We never tried to contact each other. I waited 5 years in New York, giving myself a chance to know whether I'd settle there or not, but in the end, I went back to Montreal. And within 2 or 3 years, I met and married my late husband, and we'd spent the next 43 years together. So we were never in a situation where I could even think of Philip or meet him again. But the cufflinks always stayed on my dresser. And civil rights, I guess it never really changed. I see it in every day, but no one has ever shown me ugly face here or shown either of us, because we conduct ourselves properly and we don't get involved with people we shouldn't be involved with. So I guess what I want to say is that life went on for Philip, life went on for me. At the end of my husband's life, which was 2009, after the 43 years, I just asked myself, is that all there is? And settled in on a new life on my own. I moved in with my sister. I took up walking, learning Spanish, spending time with friends. And just after Christmas, Philip will recall it, was early January 2014, I was researching lyrics to songs as I had been doing as an exercise for my memory, and I came across Red Prysock on the internet. Red has been gone for a long time now, but I remembered Philip Paul played with him and how we were friends in Montreal. So I looked Philip Paul up on the internet. I couldn't find a telephone number, but there was an address. I decided to send him a note, as I had read also that his wife had just passed away in 2013. And Philip received the note on a Saturday morning and called me. I was very excited when I heard his voice at the other end. It hadn't changed in all those years. I was giddy. I was like a schoolgirl. He also sounded giddy on the other end. You did.
Well, I have to back up a little bit and tell you. In the meantime, I also got married. And in Cincinnati, I built a career working in a recording studio. I was a session drummer for King Records for 14 years. And I traveled all over the country. I even came to New York. And I thought about Bobby every time I came to New York, every time I thought I saw someone that looked like you, I smiled, but it wasn't Bobby. However, when I received your card, that turned my whole life around. I was a single man, very lonesome, and it's not that I was looking for someone, but I guess this was just the way it was supposed to happen. I called her. I could hardly talk. I was so excited. I try to act cool, you know what I say. But I guess it wasn't cool. I guess you could tell the anxiety in my voice. And let me back up. I called you, remember?
Yes.
And
Saturday at 1:15.
You don't know, but I wanted to propose to you right then, but it was a little too soon. I was saying maybe she has a different idea how I look now. Maybe she wouldn't want me now. All kind of funny things went through my mind. I was a nervous wreck. I had to go to work that night. I told everybody about it. You know, the guys told me, well, Phil, you're going to get married again the way you're talking. I said, I hope so. I didn't tell you that, but I did have a conversation with some of my colleagues. And when you asked me to come up to Toronto to go to a jazz festival, I said, I'm going to go up and I'm going to propose to her. I didn't tell you that either. But
we had different ideas. I was thinking of just friendship, you know, and you always think differently anyway. I think you're more progressive in your thinking. I don't know. But I was just hoping that we'd see each other again. And that was going to be not until June. So from January to June, there was a lot of phone calling going on. It got to the point where it was like the last part of it was like three times a day. We knew where each other were all the time. And finally, Philip decided to come to Toronto. I found out that he was still playing jazz and that he was still doing what he loved to do best. And I thought the jazz festival would bring us very close together, because I'd spent my early years studying jazz appreciation. So I always had jazz in my life. And as you know, like the songs are always in my head. Anyway, we spent 8 wonderful days together, running to concerts and just being together and talking about all that's gone on in our lives. And so after that was over, I just thought, more separation, and I wasn't looking towards the future. I figured at my age, I wasn't interested in trying to settle down again. You know, I had just been through all that, and I figured you felt the same, but no, you had other things on your mind.
I'm a progressive thinker, and it's never too late. If you want something, you should get it if you possibly can. By the way, we forgot one thing. Bobby was thinking about my health and the headaches that you go through when you go to the airport. So she suggested that I get a wheelchair. Now, that hurt my pride, really, because me, wheelchair, never. But, of course, I was given into you, you know.
Well, I thought it would make it easier because there are forms to fill out. It's much different at the airport now. You didn't even have a passport to start with. You hadn't traveled in years across the border.
Right.
And with all this 9/11 business and things that were happening, Homeland Security had gotten tight coming into Canada and going out of Canada. So I figured if you had someone pushing in a wheelchair, they would do all these things for you. Because it's happened before to elder relatives that have come to Toronto and, you know, we've met them at the airport. Everything was done for them. Plus, you get special priority getting on and off the plane. So when you did arrive, I waited and waited, and I got there an hour early, too. You didn't come, and you didn't come, and everybody had come through those doors from customs. I said, he's not coming. And I went to find a seat for myself to cry in my beer, but I looked up, and I said, that's him. And I ran, and I had a bouquet of flowers for you, and you just had one of these kind of wonderful smiles on your face. It wasn't a laughing smile. It was just there. It was a real one. I said, that's him. How we recognized each other. It was easy. It was just like it was supposed to be, you know?
Yeah, it was wonderful. Anyway, time was getting close for me to catch the plane, and I said to myself, I have to do it now. And it was a young lady that was standing with us. I don't know why she was there.
She was pushing the wheelchair.
Okay.
She got the wheelchair for you.
I don't agree with that wheelchair at all.
I just told her to take good care of you. You were somebody special, and you were star, and she was a young girl, and so this meant a lot, you know, to her.
Anyway, I said to Bobby, will you marry me? And just like that, Bobby looked at me. She said, yes. So, oh, God. My heart jumped out of my skin. I couldn't believe it. That was like a born-again man, really. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Happy, happy. And then you returned to Cincinnati, and you were made arrangements for everything, for marriage licenses, and we got Mayor John Cranley to agree to marry us in his chambers.
Incidentally, that's the mayor of Cincinnati, Ohio.
And
good friend
he's
of mine.
A good friend. But in the meantime, between you coming to Toronto and me coming to Cincinnati in August, which was 2 months, I had to spend July in Florida, my brother's last 3 weeks of his life. My sister and I traveled from Toronto to spend time with him. So my head was occupied with his problems, but I still spoke to you 3 times a day from Florida. So we never lost touch. And the minute I got back to Toronto, I repacked on the 28th of July. And on the 4th of August, I was here in Cincinnati with you. And they announced August 8th as Philip Paul Day. We had a big celebration that day. They gave you the keys to the city. I met all your peers and a lot of people that are your best friends.
I told everyone in Cincinnati the same story as much as I could anyway. They couldn't believe it, but they wished us well, and I'm pretty sure they still do because they love you.
And I've been here. I'm in my second year. No complaints. Everybody has been nice and friendly. Your family, we speak to your brother. Well, I had seen him the last time on his graduation day from high school in New York. And now he's in his 70s, a doctor in Atlanta with his family. And it just seems like it was yesterday. Everything seems like yesterday.
It's amazing. You haven't changed a bit either. You're still beautiful.
I think you don't change. I don't feel myself changing as far as I know biologically. My age has changed, but I'm not changing my thoughts or how I feel or what I think about people and life, and it goes on, you know, and we just want more and more togetherness.
You know, one thing that made me nervous, I've never told you this, I thought maybe because of my age, you wouldn't want to marry me. I really thought that way.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I don't think that I'm capable of being a husband, but I didn't know how you would accept
that. But I had all that, the past to want to get to relive and bring that in, and that made it so much easier. I never thought of age. I still don't. And people are the ones that bring it up to you. We don't discuss age. But I think, Philip, you have such good qualities for a man. It's so easy to be your wife. It's so easy to go to sleep knowing you're there, wake up knowing you're there, and in between doing the things that everybody else does in a day, and never any complaints. Whether it's a meal, at the end of the meal, you always say, that was good. That makes me feel good. I want to do more. So this is a real love story, and we truly feel blessed that we found each other again. And my prayer is that the Lord will give us a lot more happy days together. And I just want to say that I love you, and I love you to the ends of the earth, forever and ever.
Thank you, dear. I love you, too. I always will.